Well, tonight, as I mentioned earlier, I would like to share with you what I'm going to title Observations on Living God's Word, My Trip to Oregon. And as I mentioned, last Sunday, Jan Majera, Jeannie, and myself, we flew up to Portland, Oregon, which is in the northern part of the state. It's right up on the border there with the Columbia River, and then there's Washington State right across the river there. And the airport is right next to the river. So we rented a car, and we drove a couple hours down on Highway 5. Highway 5 goes from San Diego up to Seattle, I think. So, but we went south down to Corvallis and eventually to a little town, Philomath. I think I said that right. People pronounce it differently. But we stayed at a Airbnb, and we were there for the wedding. The main reason was the wedding for Bob Moser and Trish Barbera. Now, Bob, we knew a number of years ago. He was here ministering for a couple years back in the 80s, and wonderful man of God. But he's from that area there. He grew up in that area, and he has a 20-acre ranch. I call it a tree ranch. I didn't see too many cows or anything up there. Just growing hay and a lot of big trees up there. So he's about 15 miles out in the hills, and those hills are covered with these beautiful Douglas fir pines, just green and lush out there. And thankfully, we had great weather, and it was nice and sunny for the most part, and wasn't too hot or too chilly as well. So being out there for 4 days, we came back Thursday night. We were able to do a number of things. We went to the coast, which was about 30 miles away, and that was interesting there. Saw some guys surfing up there, which, of course, is something I like to do or used to do. But that water's very cold, and they were covered from head to toe in wetsuits. I don't blame them. So, yeah, we had a great time visiting around. Just beautiful area there. We saw a covered bridge. We saw some wild turkeys cross in front of us. And like I say, many, 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 many Douglas fir trees. We saw a lot of trees. So, yeah, it was just absolutely beautiful. But, you know, what I want to share tonight is not so much on the things that were there, but with the people that we had the privilege to fellowship with and to hang out with. And it was really neat seeing God work in so many wonderful ways. And like Daniel Woods shared yesterday, Sunday at our picnic, you know, he shared on God living in the details of our life. And certainly God does. And we saw that big time up there. And not only the little things, but the big things as well. And what I like to do when I go on trips is just look forward to see what God can teach me and what I can learn, as well as what I can help and contribute in that trip. So I've got four observations I want to share with you about living the Word of God. And the first one is faithfulness. I really saw God, who is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, that's 1 Corinthians 1:9, really come through in so many ways to bless everyone there for this event, this wedding. And again, as Daniel shared Sunday, seeing God in the details and how the weather was wonderful, just the wind usually blows through in the late afternoon, but for the wedding there, it was just as mild and wonderful as could be. So it was neat. God is faithful to his promises. And it was great to see people believing him and talking with folks to see their faithfulness. You know, and that's part of what really blessed me in light of faithfulness is seeing other people that I hadn't seen for quite a while. And here they are, still faithful with the word, still loving God, still holding forth the words of life. And what a wonderful thing to see that they have stood faithful. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 2:2, commit the faithful man who will be able to teach others also. You know, God loves faithful people and those who will stand a lifetime on the word of God. And that's what I was really blessed to see with the different people that came from Maine, Tennessee, and other places. There were about 50 people for the wedding. And to see them there and hear about their God adventures and how God's working in their life was just a beautiful thing. So, yep, God's faithfulness. It's great to see that. And it was wonderful to see that quality in these wonderful believers. You know, it says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And God sure encouraged us to believe his promises, didn't he, in the manifestations? So he's faithful. He's going to come through on his promises. We just need to go to him as he exhorted us to do. Well, another quality that I saw and observed on our trip was persistence. Enduring through life's challenges takes persistence. It was interesting again to see and talk with believers that had different challenges in their life, went through different obstacles, and yet they stayed faithful and they endured. They pushed through, believing God all the way. And this endurance turns into victory. I know so many times people are easily, when they're challenged and things don't go their way, they quit, they stop. But for us believers, we don't. We have that quality of persistence. We endure. One example of endurance that I experienced there was when Bob shared about his ranch and some history about that. On his 20 acres, he's got a beautiful house. It's kind of up on a hill. And there's some open field in front of it, and then some beautiful trees where he has where they did the wedding, and it's a beautiful location. But many years ago, or a number of years ago, when he was looking to build there on that property had been in his family for quite a while. The neighbor tried to put a stop to it. And evidently there are some codes that in those lumber areas where they farm trees that you can have one house per 100 acres. You have to have at least 100 acres to have a house. So it took several years for him to work through the courts. But he finally won because he had persistence. And he was able to prove that much of his property could not grow trees. And so the court ruled in his favor so that he could build his house. But it took some great persistence for him to do that. So here's some great verses on this. Ephesians 6:18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We know what that is, right? Speaking in tongues. And watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Here it is. When we're praying, a good quality that we want to have is perseverance, our endurance. And I see this in a number of records when it comes to prayer. We just want to get to the point that if we haven't received our request in prayer, don't stop. Stay put. Persevere. Continue to stay with that prayer. Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. That word continuing is the same word family as perseverance that we read in 6:18. And these other verses I'm going to share with you that talk about continuing, it's the same word as well. So it means endurance, have that endurance. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren. See, they stuck to it. They just didn't have a short prayer and wonder where God was. They stuck to it. They were consistent. They persevered. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So this was a lifestyle, a consistent lifestyle of persevering in their prayer life. Acts 6:4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We're not going to stop praying. We're not going to stop with the ministry of the word. See, this is who we are. We stay put. We're going to stand on God's word. And we're not going to stop because we have that perseverance. We have the Christ in us. He persevered right through what he had to pay the price for. So you and I can do it too. Okay. Wow. So, you know, there's some things in my life that I've been praying for many, many years, and I've yet to see it come to pass, but I'm not going to stop praying for it because I know God is faithful. Well, the third thing I wanted to share with you about my trip is the importance of fellowship with the believers. I tell you what, it's always great to be with the believers. You go on a trip, maybe sometimes we go on a vacation, and unfortunately many times we're not around believers. We might be in a beautiful place, Hawaii or something. But if we're not around believers, it's, yeah, I don't know, for me sometimes it feels a little empty. But with this trip, we were around wonderful believers. And for me to visit with some of these believers was just a great blessing. I learned some things, and I was very thankful to hear what some of the other believers and leaders are doing in other areas. That was encouraging to me, very encouraging to me. So, and I trust they learned from what I could share with them. And I was really blessed with Hauk and Sheila Hitchcock. They are wonderful leaders in Houston, Texas. And they're the ones that did the service. And they were just wonderful, wonderful believers, great insights on the word and moving the word. I also had the opportunity to sit down with a younger man who had been just married, I think, in the past year or so, and was able to share some things with him, which he was very appreciative of. And I was really blessed to have that opportunity. I've never known this guy, but we met. They had a fire going there and outside, and people would sit around it, and he and I were there, and we started talking, and it was a great fellowship. You know, Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And this word to stir up means to sharpen. You've heard of that verse, iron sharpeneth iron? Well, this is what it kind of sounds like here. Let us consider how to sharpen one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Wow. Well, let me share with you the fourth point that I wanted to present to you tonight, and that's the family value, the value of the family of God. You know, it's nothing more endearing to see a family live and love together. And I'm kind of talking about, obviously, there's the family of God, which is just most important. But it's great to see families that are in the Word, and the kids are in the Word. And it's just a great situation. We're certainly blessed with our kids and our family, and that they love God and got great kids. And so we saw this. Bob has four children and three girls and a boy. And I don't know if they're all married. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all married. And they have
five grandkids,
yeah. So, but they were there and they were very supportive. You see, Bob lost his wife to cancer about a year ago. And he had called Jeannie to see if he could maybe meet somebody and have a pen pal, because he said, I got a lot of years left, and I just feel I need to do this. And Jeannie, I'm going to let Jeannie tell that story at another time, maybe. But she was instrumental in hooking them up. Let me say that.
The wisdom of God.
Yep, wisdom of God. So that's another story you can look forward to hear at a later time, okay? But boy, to have families be together is just so wonderful. God invented this life to have kids and family working together, loving each other. And, of course, the family of God is so wonderful, too. Let me share a couple of verses along these lines. This is Ephesians 3:14 through 16. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Acts 3:25 says, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God loves families, and we just want to take care of each other in our family, be it our natural family and obviously the family of God. Well, talking about family of God, on our way back to the airport, we got to Portland a couple hours earlier than we needed to, so we went over the Columbia River into Washington State, and the town there is Vancouver, Washington, not to be mixed up with Vancouver, British Columbia, and we were able to stop and have a little lunch there and, you know, look at the river and what was going on there. And we were just inspired to call somebody. I realized that Eric Rohde lived in Vancouver, so we gave him a call, and he was so blessed we called. That was great. So, yeah, the family is where it's at. I don't know what we would do without it. Well, we finally came back home, and it was just a great trip, and I'm thankful for what I learned, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share some of these things with you. So, as you can see, no matter what you're doing and where you're going, you can always observe things to learn from. And I hope you'll be able to experience God's faithfulness and see it in others, and see how encouraging that is, and that you will see persistence does pay off, especially in our prayer life, and that fellowship with other believers can produce great learning opportunities for all parties. And then family fellowship is the heart of Christianity. It's the taste of the gathering together, I think. So, well, thanks for listening, and I trust you've learned something here, and look forward to being with you on future fellowships. Thank you for being with us tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word again, and for the privilege it is to know you through your word and to know who we are in Christ. And sure, grateful that as we live our life, we can experience some of the great realities that we see in your word, that we can exercise these qualities that are in your word and see you work mightily. So we're grateful, Father, for this, and I sure thank you for your people. I pray for them and that they can continue to grow in your love and in the great calling that you've called them to function in the body of Christ. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.